Hello, everybody. I hope that you're having a great day today. My name is Victoria. I'm a student at the Graduate School of Education, and I also help out the GSE IT team when I can. Today, we're excited to have you come on a journey online with us as we talk to a student from ICE and a Poll student about their remote learning this quarter. And we wanted to just do this because we know so much has been happening with Stanford's remote classes, and this is such a great opportunity to capture and talk about it. Our goal today is to share, celebrate, and reflect on what we've learned so far and pass those learnings on to folks who are teaching remotely in the quarters that follow. So with that, I'm happy to introduce Becca and Rob. They're master's students, first years at the Graduate School of Education, and I'm super thankful that you're both here today. Welcome. Becca, could you introduce yourself and just say your name, your program, what you're motivated to study here, and anything else that you want to share about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Becca. I'm in the ICE program, and I'm really interested in early childhood, especially the socialization that children experience and how that contributes to inherent bias.
Awesome. Thank you. Hi, Rob. Can you introduce yourself as well?
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Rob Hevner. I'm in the Polls program. I've been a teacher, middle school geography teacher, and outdoor program coordinator for the last few years, and I'm really interested in sort of social emotional learning and the impacts that can happen outdoors and how that then translates indoors. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you both for introducing yourself, and I'm excited to figure out what your quarter has been like. And so just to start us off here, this has been your first quarter as students, and you've have been taking remote classes. I'm thinking with no in-person experiences, although if you have, I'm curious to hear about those too. Can you tell me a little bit about what classes you took this quarter and how you landed on those courses as like, okay, these are the courses I'm going to take this fall. What's that been like?
I was mostly in required courses, and so that made it a little less stressful for me, honestly, with the first quarter, not knowing what to expect, just having a bit of a plan laid out. I also was interested in your comment. I actually did have one class that met in person sometimes, which was like really a wonderful experience for me, being able to actually interact with some of my like peers and the professors in person. But that was only, I think, four times in the whole quarter. So mostly online.
What course was that? That's so interesting.
Yeah, that was Introduction to ICE with Professor Bradley and Professor Carnoy.
Okay, that's awesome. And just to go on that a little bit further, this is so exciting. You're the first person I've talked to, I think maybe all quarter, who has had an in-person experience. What did you do during those in-person sessions that made them different or like, I don't know, unique compared to remote learning?
So some of it was similar. Only about half of my cohort is actually on campus. And so we did have a Zoom portion of the class. But I think what made it really unique was just to be able to kind of have a more fluid discussion. One of the things I've noticed in my Zoom experience is sometimes the discussion can get stalled at times because you're missing those social cues that you get from talking to someone in person. And just being able to kind of get to know people on a more personal level because you can talk to them before, after the class period actually like starts or ends, and have a more personal conversation outside of like the actual class content.
I miss those personal conversations dearly. I can tell you that. Rob, you're nodding your head. What was the quarter like for you?
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed all the classes I took. I think I was honestly pleasantly surprised with how everything went. I went in not knowing. I didn't took one required class, qualitative research methods. And the other main courses I took was that was with Professor Pope. And the other courses I took were post-secondary access course with Professor Antonio. We had a seminar for our polls group. And I took a class in the business school entrepreneurial approaches to education with Professor Lee. And I think all of those courses I thought went super well. I was, as I said, a little apprehensive going into the semester, but I think if I had to pick one that was like the most impactful for me, it was probably just the seminar. I think for the poll seminar, sorry, we have a very small cohort this year, 8 people, 8 students. And I think that perhaps what separated that, I'm sure the seminar is great every year, but it was so small and it was not in person. I wish it was, like Becca, but it was small enough that, and the instructors give a lot of time for like building community. And it was the one space where I didn't expect to make connections like on Zoom. I didn't know what that would look like, but the connections were made. And I feel like all of our voices were shared and we could hear one another really well and get to know one another actually in a somewhat surprising way. So that was probably the most impactful, probably for the community reasons, not necessarily for the education components, although all the courses were impactful from an education perspective.
Yeah, Rob, what you said really resonated with me. I think the classes that really stuck with me were the ones that built the most community. So it wasn't just about the academic learning, it was about the social aspects of it. I had one class in particular, Introduction to Data Analysis, and that very intentionally built that community week after week. It was also a very small class, I think 6 students. And I looked so much forward to logging onto Zoom for that. I can't say I was always excited to get onto Zoom and have more screen time, but that class I definitely always was.
That's amazing. It sounds like the master's programs are being really intentional about building community. I'm wondering for either of you if a specific activity or like a game, or even if it was part of a lesson in the learning that you were supposed to, you know, be taking away from these classes. Can you think of any examples of intentional community building? And if so, could you describe them for maybe someone who's trying to think about ideas on what to implement in the winter quarter?
I can pop in first. I can think of 2 specific kind of different examples that were really helpful. One was in the qualitative research class with Professor Pope. They had it structured so that at the beginning of each class, student, or I guess the TAs led sort of a get to know you activity, a community building activity for the first few classes, but then they opened it up to students. And so students would lead a community building activity at the beginning of each class. And it would be done in pairs, so not like solo. And I think that that was actually useful in a number of ways, because on the one hand, there's all these community buildings at the beginning of class. But on the other, when you're planning it, you have to connect with another student. Like you're kind of forced to connect on a level that's not like specifically about the course. So you don't, you know, the stakes are really low. So it can be kind of a more fun conversation, like a phone call or a Zoom or just email, texting, whatever. But it's a little, you know, lower stakes. And I think that helped a lot. And I made a good connection through that, just planning that activity with a student. The other course was in the business course that I took, Entrepreneurial Approaches. And that was really interesting because it was a larger class. It was like, you know, 40 students, give or take. And so it was different. All my other courses were like 12 students, so a lot smaller. And what was cool about that was we would get in breakout rooms for every class. And in the beginning, you would get in a breakout room and you would have like an icebreaker essentially. So similar thing, not with all 35, 40 students, but with 5 or 6 students. But what was cool about that class is for each class, you would be in that same breakout room for, you know, 5 or 6 different activities. So you were returning to that group and then that would shift for the next class. But so every class you have like 5 or 6 people. And by the end, you actually get to know everybody. I think there were probably like 6 or 7 people I hadn't really interacted with, but everyone else I got to interact with, which I thought was an interesting way to kind of build community in that sense.
Yeah, it sounds like you might have actually gotten to know a whole 40 person or close to 40 people in a class through Zoom. That's so interesting. And before Becca responds, I'm also just wanting to know, What was the activity that you led with your partner in that class?
It's a good question. We did what three historical figures would you bring to a dinner party? And so people had a little time to think about that, and then they could put it on a Google slide, and so they could do little pictures of the people that they would bring. And that was just a good way to kind of see in a somewhat more candid way where people or what people find interesting or what they would want to talk about.
That's awesome. Becca, do any activities from your fall quarter in the community building sense stick out to you?
Yeah, I think I had some fairly similar experiences to what Rob was talking about. One class I had, we started every class by changing our Zoom names to respond to just a casual question that was asked, what's your favorite music? What are you going to be for Halloween? These sorts of just very fun, chatty sort of questions, not related at all to the academics of the class. I also felt that the breakout rooms were really helpful in getting to know people and just kind of being able to interact with a lot more people in a class than I may have in person when you sit next to the same few people, perhaps the whole class. And then one other thing I was actually thinking about is in my introduction to ICE class, my professors required that we meet with them each during the quarter. And it's actually ended up being really wonderful to have this set time and place to be able to have a one-on-one conversation. So not only getting to know my peers, but also getting to know the professors a little bit better, I felt was really helpful in making the community stronger.
Yeah, 100%. Rob, did that happen in any of your cases, building community with professors?
Nothing was required in terms of, but I think that's a really interesting idea, and that would be helpful probably to some extent. But I did go to office hours with all of my professors, and those were available. I think there's probably even more flexibility in terms of office hours in the Zoom world. And those were, I don't know, a little more formal, classroom, project, talk about this project, talk about the paper, whatever. So I don't know if I really built super strong community through that. Although I will say any community building that happened where the teacher was involved was helpful as well, because they were sort of allowed to be vulnerable in those moments and share kind of personal information, which always helped build community there. So I think, in the smaller classes, that was still able to happen and connection was made. But in terms of the one-on-one, I'm not quite the same experience.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. I think I felt that way myself. For both of you as first year students, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I'm curious to know a little bit more about how you thought about coming to Stanford this quarter, especially, I think Rob, you mentioned earlier, the cohorts are smaller because people were given the option to defer or not. But you made it, you're here at Stanford, you chose not to defer. And so I'm wondering, what was your thought process coming to Stanford in this fall quarter, knowing that it was all going to be remote? What sort of expectations did you have, and how did you prepare for this? And what factors pushed you to attend this fall and not defer?
I feel like it's a big question, but I'll try and answer the best I can. I felt like in not deferring, I knew that graduate school was something that I wanted to do. And I was just really hopeful that the experience would be the best it could be in this situation. I had a lot of confidence that professors would try and adapt to Zoom as best they could, which is definitely what I've experienced in the last quarter. And I also have been very fortunate that the others in my cohort who did come to campus have become very close friends and really a strong support system for me as I was at Stanford. So I think in coming back, I was just really focused on getting back into the academic mindset, but also really intentionally making those social connections, knowing that it would all be virtual.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
And then for me, I would say I was definitely nervous. I toyed with the idea of deferring, but it was the right time for me, definitely to be going to graduate school. And it was a transitional time in the world. It was an okay time for me to transition into from a, you know, being in the classroom to something new. I think one of the things that I was looking forward to actually was just the fact that, you know, with the option of deferring, everyone who was here was, you know, had that option and turned it down. And so everyone was, I was expecting everyone to be like pretty engaged in, and just as Becca said, to make connections, to, you know, to buy in, I think I was nervous, like, who is everybody going to buy in? And it, you know, I think for the most part, yes, it's been really, I feel echo exactly what Becca said about feeling lucky to have made connections with the people in my cohort and made some connections from other classes as well through group projects and whatnot. And so I think, you know, there is something kind of unique and weird about this time where everyone is bonded through this experience. And so I think people are very open to saying like, hey, yeah, I'll do an extra Zoom call and talk with you, or talk on the phone, or, you know, just get to know one another. So that has been helpful.
I echo that for sure. Becca, I wouldn't know you if we didn't have the Digital Ambassador Program and I wasn't in your Tuesday morning class. So it's led to unexpected happiness for me as well. So the last kind of part of this conversation has to do with essential components of remote learning from your perspectives. And it sounds like your master's students cohorts have done a really thoughtful job at thinking about connectivity and really, you know, bridging the gaps that we don't get in this experience whenever we're remote. And so it sounds like you've been able to meet folks and bond and engage with the community. And thinking about other aspects of learning, because I'm gonna kind of assume that like connectivity is a really essential part of a course. You got to feel connected to the people who are learning with you. What are some of the other elements that you can identify from your courses this fall that you would say are essential for remote learning? And feel free to talk about like, what were the assessments like? What was the feedback like? What was the workload like per week? What technology did you use? Any of those things are good, or other stuff that I didn't mention, feel free to go down another route too.
I think one thing for me that was really helpful was just, this felt like almost special because of the remote capabilities, but just to have like group work was essential. I think without a breakout room, I think there's a lot of connection loss in, unless it's a very like a seminar discussion based class. I think being in a smaller group and being able to kind of discuss informally was really helpful. But, you know, in the classes that I found were the most successful was when we were sent to breakout rooms and asked to create sort of a deliverable in like 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you know, whether that's a Google slide, fill in a preset Google Doc, and just have an opportunity and then to share out with the class. You know, it breaks up. Everyone has different tasks. Now, obviously not everyone breaking out and doing the same activity, but different activities. And I felt that that was a really helpful way because, you know, it puts a lot of the responsibility on students, and that's, you know, a little more natural to what would happen in a classroom, but everyone's already online. So pulling up a Google Doc or a Google slide and whipping that together is like a little more easier than if you're scrambling to find a group in a classroom, I would think, and then present that, you know, there's technical issues, screen sharing, all that stuff kind of gets taken away. And so there's more time for that kind of activity. And I thought that was probably my favorite type of activity. You know, less lecturing, more of that kind of hands-on discussing. And then the professor can pop in and out of these breakout rooms and have discussions.
Yeah, I would echo a lot of what Rob said. I think for my like academic achievement in these classes, one thing that really helped me was just like the variety of activities that were offered during a class. We all, I think, at some point have experienced Zoom fatigue, right? So being able to go into a class and having kind of different things to do instead of just sitting and kind of zoning out was really helpful for my engagement. And then I also found that in those sorts of classes, that professors were really responsive. Any sort of feedback you had on the activity or the class that day, they were really actively trying to make the Zoom experience the best they could. And so you could see the changes in the following classes.
I will echo the responsiveness. It was, I think, every professor like attacked this semester with like an openness that I found really refreshing and exciting, you know, because they had to buy into it too, teaching this fall. And so I think just the willingness to accept feedback, and, you know, it also requires that students actually give feedback as well. And so like creating an environment where students feel comfortable to give that feedback created kind of more positive experiences down the line.
What sort of feedback were you able to give throughout the quarter, and how did professors ask for it, and maybe how often too?
So in my experience, I think three of my classes asked for weekly feedback just through a Google form that students could fill out. And obviously you could always go and talk to them in office hours one-on-one if you preferred that or wanted to.
We also had the Google form. I had it for one class, but then one class that I liked was like a pre-class survey that we had to fill out about our comfort levels and kind of what our expectations were. And then a mid-quarter survey to see like how is everything playing out? Is it what you expected? What are some refreshments, which were formal assignments? And those were not tedious, I found, and actually helpful to give professors some feedback based on how we were feeling.
Yeah, that makes sense. One last question for you all before we wrap up here. When you think about winter quarter, which starts, as far as we know, January 11th, unless the university moves it, what would you hope would be true about your experience going into that quarter? Like, what are some of your hopes?
I think for me, it's just continual buy-in from everybody. I think it's such a difficult time. And this semester was a difficult semester with the election, throw that in there. For a lot of people, it's the first time on Zoom. And there was a lot of understanding. And I think people are more comfortable with things, but not everything has been straightened out at this point. And there's still a lot to learn. And I think kind of the openness and buy-in from students and teachers and willingness to kind of be flexible. I think flexibility is so key. And I think that would be my hope, is that everyone can continue to be flexible and not, you know, like be still accepting, even though it's the second quarter that we're experiencing, still accept the mistakes, still accept, you know, the hiccups, because they will inevitably happen. And I have no reason to expect that people won't do that, but that would be kind of my hope.
Becca, what are some of your hopes for winter quarter?
Yeah, I think in winter quarter, I'm really looking forward to taking a new set of classes, kind of jumping into some different subjects, and also already having an established community a little bit. So being able to take more classes with my cohort and really jumping in right away, feeling like I know these people, I think will be a big boost compared to fall quarter.
Totally. I hope so too. Yeah, just based on my experience at the GSE, I've found it to be a really warm and welcoming place, and I hope that's the case moving forward. That's about all the time we have. Rob, Becca, thank you both so much for donating an hour of your time to hang out with me and talk about your fall quarter. I really, really appreciate it. And for everyone who listened in to this podcast, thanks so much for journeying online with us. Bye.